Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
Today, we're diving into a really captivating corner of California's capital, Sacramento. We're exploring East Sacramento.
Right. A place with this amazing mix. You've got grand architecture, some presidential history, even movie fame.
Exactly. And also this foundational local institution, East Lawn, that's been there over a century.
Mm-hmm.
You sent over some fascinating material. And our mission for this deep dive is basically to see how all these different threads, the houses, the history, the park, how they weave together.
Yeah, how they create the unique character of East Sacramento, especially focusing on that famous neighborhood, the Fabulous 40s, and East Lawn itself.
We want to unpack how these things aren't just there side by side, but how they actually shape the place.
That's right. Our sources really paint a rich picture, showing how East Sac's identity was, you know, crafted over time. We'll connect the dots for you.
Sort of shortcut to understanding its vibe.
Exactly. How the home styles, the quiet presence of the Memorial Park, how it all adds up. It's compelling how these threads intertwine, giving you a real sense of its past and present.
Okay, let's get into it. First source flags, the Fabulous 40s. I mean, that name alone sparks your interest, doesn't it?
It really does. Sounds glamorous.
So what is it about this specific neighborhood? What makes it so special in East Sac?
Well, the 40s, as people call it, it's named for the streets 40th through 49th Street.
Simple enough.
Right. And it's tucked between J Street and Folsom Boulevard. Now, East Sacramento overall, it's lovely, charming streets, lots of trees. But the Fabulous 40s, it just stands out. It's this distinctive, almost revered little enclave. It's known for its history, sure, but also the architecture is stunning, and there's this real strong community feeling you get.
Okay, so it feels different. When did it really start becoming the Fabulous 40s? What was going on in Sacramento then?
Well, East Sacramento started developing, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, as the city grew outwards.
Right, expansion.
But the 40s specifically, it really took off, became prominent in the 1920s and 30s.
Ah, the Roaring 20s and then the Depression era. Interesting timing.
Yeah, and Sacramento was booming then. Population growth, economic prosperity. The city was really finding its feet.
Okay.
So that led to a lot of new houses being built. And the homes in the 40s, they were, well, grand, often built by Sacramento's growing middle and upper class.
It was aspirational.
Totally. It was a conscious effort, I think, to build a neighborhood that really showed off the city's success. It was where you lived when you'd made it.
And the houses themselves. The source calls it a smorgasbord of architecture. That sounds amazing, like a walk through a history book.
It really is. It's definitely seen as one of Sacramento's most architecturally diverse areas. You just wander down those wide streets, trees everywhere,
right,
and you see these fantastic examples of different styles, like Tudor homes, the gables and timbering, and then Colonial Revival, very stately, symmetrical arts and crafts bungalows, too, focusing on craftsmanship, and the California bungalow style. Elegant but cozy.
Wow, quite the mix.
Yeah, and it's not just the styles, it's the scale. The lots are big, bigger than usual for East Sac, so the houses feel grander, there's more room for landscaping.
Hence the gardens.
Exactly. Many have these mature gardens, really well kept, some going back almost 100 years. They even have annual garden tours. People come from all over. History and horticulture rolled into one.
That sounds lovely.
So beyond the beautiful houses, the Fab 40s always had this prestige, a desirable address, which kind of begs the question, right? Who lived there? Did that boost its profile?
Well, yeah, and the profile definitely went national, you could say, because of one very famous resident.
Ah, a resident.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He lived there, 1341 45th Street, when he was governor of California.
Right, from 67 to 75.
Imagine that, a future president just living down the street. It's a pretty big deal for a neighborhood.
Huge.
And since then, it's kept attracting influential people, politicians, business leaders.
Mm.
It cemented its reputation as, you know, the place to be if you were somebody in Sacramento.
And there's that pop culture link, too, right? More recently?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Greta Gerwig's movie, Lady Bird.
That's the one.
People who've seen the film will know it. The famous blue house that Lady Bird dreams of living in. That's in the 40s.
Right. That quick shot from the car really stuck in people's minds.
Totally. So you've got history, presidents, movies. What does that mean for the actual feel of the community today? What's it like living there or visiting? What kind of things happen?
Well, the community spirit really comes alive, especially around Christmas. That's a huge deal there.
Oh, the decorations.
Oh, yeah. Homes go all out. Lights, displays, themes. the streets just transform. It's not just looking at lights. It's like a shared event, a tradition. People come from all over the region just to see it.
Sounds magical.
It really is. And you can even do this 90-minute caroling pedal tour on a Sac brew bike in December. Fun way to see it all.
Huh. That's unique. So it's a real destination during the holidays.
Right.
But what about the rest of the year? Is it still lively?
Oh, definitely. It's not just a Christmas display. There are these charming little boutique shops nearby, cafes where you can hang out. Mm-hmm. And William McKinley Park is right there. It's like the neighborhood's backyard, big rose garden, a pond, playground.
So a real community hub.
Absolutely. Mm. It's where people gather, relax, kids play. It keeps that community connection strong all year round. It's more than just a park. It's part of their living space.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit now. Let's talk about East Lawn. Our sources make it clear this isn't just, you know, a cemetery. It's deeply connected to East Sacramento's story. What's its origin? How did it start?
Right. East Lawn goes way back. It opened in 1904.
Wow. Over 120 years ago.
Yeah. And it was on 40 acres of land that back then was described as being on the outskirts of town.
So way out there at the time.
Pretty much. The city hadn't expanded that far yet. The actual site's called the Old Newton Booth Place. And before that, Twin Oaks Farm. So it had this rural past.
Interesting. Farmland becoming a memorial park.
Exactly. And the newspaper covering the opening ceremony, which, by the way, drew over 1,000 people, quite a crowd for something on the edge of town.
Impressive turnout.
It noted the location was on a pretty hill, gentle slopes, perfect for artistic work in laying out the cemetery with a park effect.
A park effect. So not just rows of headstones.
Right. The idea from the start was to make it tranquil, beautiful, park-like, almost like a public space as much as a burial ground. Pretty forward thinking for 1904.
That is interesting. Starting as this peaceful, almost rural retreat outside the city, how did it grow from that initial park concept into such a major Sacramento institution?
Well, its development really shows through its expansion, but also how it operated. It was quite self-sufficient.
How so?
Well, take the main mausoleum downtown, built in 1926. Huge project. And apparently every single worker hired for that original construction, they were given permanent jobs with the company afterwards.
Seriously. That's amazing. Talk about commitment.
Yeah, very different from today, probably. And it had its own infrastructure, its own water tower, its own gravel pit for building materials.
Wow.
A whole irrigation system for the grounds. And they even grew their own fields of flowers for bouquets.
So like a self-contained little world.
Pretty much. It helped them maintain their character, ride out economic ups and downs. It shows how businesses used to be really rooted in the community, building their own ecosystem.
That detail about the jobs and self-sufficiency is fascinating. Really paints a picture. And obviously it kept growing.
Oh yeah, it didn't stop there. They kept adding facilities as Sacramento grew. The main mausoleum had 9 additions between 1929 and 1956.
Right through the Depression and the war years.
Exactly. Shows continuous investment. Then they built the big El Dorado Mausoleum in 1962 and added to that several times right up to 2002.
So nearly a century of ongoing development.
Right. It really shows East Lawn's continuous service to the area, growing alongside the city itself. It became this permanent fixture, you know, a quiet witness to Sacramento's history.
Okay, so we have the 40s, this prestigious, beautiful neighborhood, and we have East Lawn, this historic, self-reliant institution that grew with the city. How do they specifically connect? Is there a direct link that puts East Lawn right in the 40s mix?
Yes, there's a very direct, very meaningful connection. It happened in 1989. East Lawn gave a gift to the city.
Oh, what was that?
The East Lawn Children's Park.
A park. Okay. Where is it?
It's located right outside East Lawn's gates at the corner of 42nd Street and Folsom Boulevard.
42nd and Folsom. Wait, didn't you say the 40s runs from 40th to 49th between Jay and Folsom?
Exactly. So the Children's Park and East Lawn itself, by extension, sits smack dab on the edge of, or you could even say within, the fabulous 40s boundary.
Wow. So it's literally right there.
Right there. It's not just physically close. It creates this shared space. Think about it. Many of the families who built those grand 40s homes, the people who shaped early Sacramento, their history is intertwined with East Lawn.
Their final resting place might be right there.
Often, yes. It creates this deep generational link. And East Lawn's grounds provide this beautiful, peaceful green space right next to the neighborhood, a place for quiet reflection alongside the vibrant community life.
And that park donation must have been huge for local families.
Oh, absolutely. Hugely appreciated. It provides a vital space for kids and families, really underscoring East Lawn's role, not just as history, but as an active part of the neighborhood's daily life today.
What a great deep dive this has been. We've gone from the, you know, stunning streets and houses of the Fab 40s with Reagan living there and Lady Bird filming there, that whole vibrant community, all the way to the quiet, historic grounds of East Lawn. Started as a farm on the edge of town, became the self-sufficient institution, and ended up being an integral part of the neighborhood right next door.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? When you consider what makes a community feel like a community, what gives it that unique character, what matters most?
Good question.
Is it the impressive architecture that captures a certain time? Is it the famous people who live there? Or is it these foundational places like East Lawn that just grow alongside the neighborhood, holding its memories?
Or maybe how they all connect.
Exactly. Think about how these things, which seem separate, actually weave together the houses, the history, the institutions to create a real sense of place, a local identity, like we've seen in East Sacramento, that interwoven story. That's often where you find the real soul of a city, don't you think?